Dear God, we give you thanks for this day and thanks for the freedom that we have to come together in worship of you. Bless this time that we might learn more about you, more about ourselves, and more about each other, and help to fill us with your Holy Spirit. We love you. Amen. So, believe it or not, it has been a scant 6 weeks since we heard the prequel to our scripture passage that Josh just read to us this morning. The last we heard of Nicodemus, who is the Pharisee and a community leader, he was left standing dazed and confused before Jesus. How can these things be? Jesus, meanwhile, was also dazed as confused as the reason his teaching seemed to leave Nicodemus dazed and confused. Such is the sign of the Holy Spirit at work. But this new opportunity to consider new life in Christ this morning also comes a scant week since we heard Pastor Justin share the prequel to our Lenten series of 6 decisions that will change your life. See, last week we heard about Jesus, the rabbi, convincing Nathanael that there were indeed good things that came from Nazareth. Thank you very much. Nathanael, meanwhile, was indeed so convinced of those good things that he made the decision that day to follow Jesus. Again, such is the sign of the Holy Spirit at work. You see, in both of those instances, whether you look back to the last time we heard this passage, or you look back to last week when we began our series, Christ was doing for our friends, who we will call Nick and Nate this morning, what Christ does for all of us as well. Christ met them where they were. And in both instances, Christ also intended for Nick and Nate the same thing that Christ intends for us, not to leave them where they were. So this morning, I invite us all to be born again into this story of being born again. You see, in our book, Tom Berlin describes the decision to be born again as the decision to give up the darkness of the world around us and to enter into the light of new life. I'm going to say that one more time. The decision to be born again is the decision to give up the darkness of the world that is around us and to enter into the light of new life. Our passage depicts the very night that Nicodemus was willing to make that decision. Though he did not yet know Jesus, he wanted to know Jesus. Though he did not understand the way Christ was teaching, he wanted to understand that teaching. And though that teaching was unfamiliar to him, Nicodemus wanted to make it familiar. Nicodemus wanted to know Christ so much that he literally sought out the light of the room that Christ was in amid the darkness of the night that surrounded him. Such, my friends, is the sign of the Holy Spirit at work. See, Nicodemus' desire to know Christ was met that night with the statement that many of us have etched within us, as if we were born with it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. That desire to know Christ that Nicodemus had was met with this statement of God's love for him and for us. Within that very statement of John 3:16, Tom Berlin describes it as a statement that encapsulates the whole purpose of Jesus and God's offer of salvation to us. That statement is an invitation to us to be willing to be born again. An invitation to not just follow, but to follow and be transformed through the Spirit. I want you to take a moment. And you may remember from a few weeks ago, if not, we'll throw out some more information about what this would mean for someone like Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a rabbi. He was someone who was a teacher. He was one of the most educated men in the entire community that he was a part of, in all of Hebrew society. And so for someone like him who spent much of his life memorizing not only the law, but all of the scriptures, he would know everything that Jesus was saying. So, you know, if Nicodemus had a Bible. He didn't have a Bible. There weren't Bibles then. We're going to pretend he had a Bible for a second. All right? We're good? Cool. So Nicodemus would know that when Jesus says Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, he was referring to Numbers chapter 21, verses 9, and he would probably be able to annotate it for him. That is how well he would know the scriptures. That is how much power and influence and how much commitment he had shown in his life to the Jewish laws. This is a man who based his entire life and work on knowing things, on knowing what was going on being able to explain it and being able to back it up with scripture. And so to be in a position where Nicodemus now has no idea what Jesus is trying to tell him would be infuriating in some ways, but also transformative in other ways. Because Nicodemus is understanding that he doesn't have to know how things work in order to know Christ. He just has to be willing to be born into this new life, a life that is different from the one that he knows, in order to be able to know the one who calls him there. He's invited to have his very understanding of what it means to know be transformed the moment he's willing to believe in who Christ says he is. That, my friends, is the kind of transformation that can lead to eternal life. When we understand the God that we show up to worship is kind of beyond our comprehension and ought to be. That is a sign of the Holy Spirit at work. That even though we cannot explain it, we know God is still working. The wind blows where it chooses and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit, and that is okay. You do not have to know where the wind is blowing to know God. You do not have to know why the wind is blowing to know Christ. To be born of the Spirit is just acknowledging that the wind is in fact blowing around us, that the Spirit is in fact moving in us and through us. A few months ago, on a day a good bit warmer than it is today, at home our air conditioning broke. Some valve got pinched with the Freon and you know, way up here for me. I don't know how those things work. But what I do know is that when moisture comes into a house, you have this thing called mold show up. And when you have a thing called mold show up, then you have to call people who come and clean out the mold. It's a really fun time. And so while we called those people and they come over to the house, it was explained to me that the way they clean that mold up is by having some kind of like thing that they put through the air ducts and blows through the entire house. And it settles on literally everything that you can imagine and somehow heals the house that has been afflicted with mold. It fills everything so much that I got to drive around with a cat and a fish for half an hour while this was happening so that they would not breathe in said wonderfulness stuff. But it's funny because that is a beautiful image, not only because the mold is gone from my house, but because that is a way that the Holy Spirit moves around us. Literally everywhere that air can be is where the Holy Spirit can be moving. It can move in us and through us, and if we allow it, it is a much healthier thing to take in within us and to then go and live with. See, all you have to do is decide that you want that new life, that you want the Spirit to move within you and through you and transform you. Not just change, but utterly transform, just as it did for Nicodemus. See, Nicodemus, even though he was a Pharisee and was someone who really believed in the Jewish law, is also one of those folks who eventually comes to help bury Jesus after he was crucified. He goes from being met where Jesus found him to meeting Jesus where he was left. And Nicodemus, a man who was raised, taught, and expected to act the same as the rest of the Jewish leaders who wanted to have Jesus killed, decides to give up the darkness of the world around him and to enter into the light of new life. In doing so, Nicodemus moves from seeking the light in the midst of darkness to being the light in the midst of darkness. And so this morning, I ask us, are we willing to be that light in the midst of darkness? Are we willing to make that decision for a new life? See, many of us have a time in our life where we would imagine that we made that decision, that somehow that has led us to this place this morning. But even if that decision already happened once, it's an opportunity to recommit to the promise, to the hope that all of us at some point have experienced in some way, or at least know of other people knowing and want to be familiar with it too. Are we in that place willing to give up the darkness of our world, the hurt that is around us, the hate that is around us, the harm that comes from choosing to allow ourselves to be part of those things? Are we willing to give those things up so that we might truly live into the light? Are we willing to give up what we know for a life with the one whom we are called to know? Are we willing to allow the Spirit to change us, to transform us, to lead us anywhere from an unfamiliar room in the dark to the all too familiar cross that we see? My friends, this is the kind of decision that will change our lives. And that change is a sign of the Holy Spirit at work.